Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
Hello, hello, hey, hey, what's going on? Welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast, the daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures each and every day right here. My God, I have no intention of going outside in the foreseeable future. The next time I'll be outside is when I go up north on Thursday. And it's not nearly as hot up there as it is here. But it still sucks up there because it's in the middle of a jungle. So that kind of blows. But no big deal. But honest to God, when it gets the way it is right now, the heat, the humidity, I just don't go outside. The only time that I really go outside is if I have to take the dogs out to go tinkle. And then right after I let them out, they're like, oh, fuck, let us back in. We cannot handle this. And people who live around me, what drives me crazy is they still, like, walk their dogs. And I'm like, are you fucking nuts? Just because you love to punish yourself, why are you doing this to your dog? This makes no sense to me whatsoever. First of all, the dog can't breathe. Second of all, the dogs, it's like if you were standing on hot asphalt, you know how much it would hurt your foot? Why are you doing this to your dog? Why do you abuse your dog like this? This is ridiculous. Kenny says summer's just too hot. Maybe there's something to all this global warming talk. Well, when I lived in Tennessee 20 years ago, I couldn't stand it then. Pretty much May to October, I was in the house. Ryan is here. Folks had been wondering where Ryan was. They hadn't heard from him in some time. Glad you're here. Yesterday on the Patreon bonus podcast, I talked about the old school Mr. 10 video. Some people don't. It came up because Nick saw my tattoo. That opened up the door to that discussion. I know we had played it on Patreon once before, or maybe even on this free platform. But, and I thought, oh, well, it's got to be easy to find on YouTube. But it wasn't for me. I promised I would post the link to that man pageant video that I was in when I was like 20, 21 years old. And, I couldn't find it. So I was like, hey, sorry. Well, I think Aram found it. The Mr. 10 video. This was the original VHS video cassette that was recorded by my beloved stepfather, Wallace. And this was the one that was reviewed on Freeburn Hot Wings Show. This is what started the name Mr. 10. I hate that video. Anyway, Aram posted it. I will repost it again here, and I will repost it on Patreon. Aram says, just type Eric Zane Mr. 10 into YouTube. Now go ahead and watch it. Because what I'd like to do is have you get a handle on it. Because on Big Fraud Wednesday tomorrow, I think it's only right for us to review it. Now, I'm probably just going to be disgusted. I'm sure there'll be lots of laughs and lots of jokes by audience members and Ben Glaze. Do your worst. The video's never been reviewed any other way other than on the radio. I've shown it before, but I've never really had too much commentary for it. I have trouble with it because it's so embarrassing. I don't know if I can swing it. But that, I think, would be only fair and funny if we review it on the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. I think that that'll be just great. So you can look forward to that for you folks that are on Patreon on a Big Fraud Wednesday. Now, okay. When I saw that there was a Mr. 10 contest when I was at college, in my first or second year at college, I wasn't like, I want to get into doing man pageants, which, I mean, you don't really hear about a lot of man pageants. You might hear about, bodybuilding competitions. Well, I kind of wanted to be a natural bodybuilder at the time. This is where I was. So I would spend a lot of time lifting weights. And, I wasn't really much of a big, bulky bodybuilder. I was quite slight, maybe 140, 145 pounds maximum. Very lean and tiny. I was like a teeny, teeny weeny little fella with abs is what I was. And too dark of a tan. So I went to like the tanning booths that was nearby where the dorms were, spent all my money on tanning every day. And then when it came time for the actual day, I put like this darkening lotion or oil that makes your skin extra dark. So I was as dark as Wesley Snipes. And my teeth were really white, so it just looked weird. Now, when I signed up for it, I thought it was just going to be like you show your muscles. I really wanted to show off my muscles. That was my thing. Pooh Bear was in the picture. She was in the audience when it went down. You might even hear her screaming, "Woohoo!" when I'm doing my thing up there. So embarrassing, though. She had her little knit stirrup pants and her too big of sweater and her giant redhead hair. My dad was there. My stepdad was there. My brother Jim was there. My mother was there. They were all in attendance. But it wasn't just where you go and you show off your muscles. Sure, there was a routine. I would actually practice a dance routine and flexing my muscles was so terrible. And I thought it was good. It's just ridiculous, though. No. There was so much more than that. Megan says, what song? I think it was Let's Go Crazy by Prince. And I can't dance. I have no idea what the... And why was I dancing? Why didn't I just go... Rawr! I understand Amy watched it last night, and she's like, I guess, got a really good laugh out of it. You're all going to get a really good laugh out of this. Chris writes, I just watched it. Holy shit, the 90s were fucked up. Oh, you're not kidding. And this is barely into the 90s. This is like 1990, 90, 91, something like that. Rough. So we will break that down and review that video. Jimmy is in attendance. Hello to Jimmy. You got the Chris's. Jeremy, I've never seen it and I won't watch until Big Fraud time. Okay. Honestly, you can't screw this up. If you watch it ahead of time, that's okay. You can still, there's so much information flying at you from that video. So many questions. I even suggest this. Maybe go ahead and watch it and then write your questions down. Because you might forget, and there's going to be so many questions that you have, like, why did you do this? Tell me how this happened. We will have a full-on Q&A. Megan says, did you pack your Speedo? I don't know what you mean by that. You mean, like, make it look like my dong was bigger? No. So when you watch it, or even if you don't, that's fine. You will have questions. There will be a full Q&A on this thing. Jimmy says, how do I find the video? You may have gotten here late, but Aram said, I forgot what he said. Oh, just type Eric Zane, Mr. 10 into YouTube. And you should be able to get it. Ryan says, I typed Eric Zane, Mr. 10 into Google, and a video by Michael Pellerito showed up. Well, that might be the case. Into Google? Yeah. Type it into YouTube. YouTube.com. Eric Zane, Mr. 10. Oh, my God. They actually titled it Eric Zane's Awesome. Okay. Oh, no. 1990 Mr. 10. I don't want to watch a second of this right now. But if you look at the bottom, it says Eric Zane's Awesome. Z-A-N-E apostrophe S Awesome. By some person named Jen Renee. 9 comments. These are comments 16 years ago, 14 years ago. Oh, my God. wow, what a toolbox. Says Trucker 0972. God damn it. I won't outrun this. I think there is a Pellerito video. I see it. Okay, what the hell did he do? I think it's the Screaming Cowboy. Mike was always doing various things, videos like this. It's just stuff like this that made me go, I think you're spending a little bit too much time on this stuff. You know what? I better not play this because this gives away some of the video. I don't want to do that. Amy says, or Megan says, will your Venmo be open for dollars? Chris says, I feel like this video was brought to us by Cocaine and Miller Genuine Draft. Jimmy says, was this pre-P90X? Now, look, I've given you all the clues for you to answer that yourself. I've said numerous times it was 1990. I've showed you the part of the video that said Mr. 10, 1990. Ask yourself, do you think in 1990 I was doing P90X, considering that that was when I was on Free Beer and Hot Wings and I was on the radio? Contextually, you have everything you have in your brain to answer that question. So, of course, this was pre-P90X. Ryan says, those are some impressive moves. No wonder Amy had a girl boner watching it. Okay, that's a little too much information. That's really something to suggest. That's a little too much of a suggestion, in my opinion. All right. So we've got that going for us. So we'll be reviewing that on Big Fraud Wednesday. We'll do who are these free beers to start the evening out. And then we'll follow it up with the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast featuring an exclusive review / beatdown of the 6.5-minute Mr. 10 video in all of its glory. Thank you, Aram, for locating it. I probably couldn't have done that on my own because I'm kind of bad at stuff like that. Write your questions down or save them for the episode. Patreon.com/Eric Zane. Ms. Molly is here. She's brand new. She doesn't know anything about Mr. 10. You'll have to get caught up then. All right. Weird week because we have the Big Fraud Wednesday. And Thursday and Friday, the next 2 weeks. Well, hell, the next 2.5, 3 weeks, it's going to be spotty Eric Zane Show podcast material. But I'm not leaving you hanging. Wednesday of this week is my last podcast day. Next week, Thursday will be my last podcast day. This week, Thursday, I am going up north. I will be giving posting on the free platform, not the best of the Eric Zane Show podcast, and also on Patreon, something to listen to while I'm away, which are completely intact shows from way back when. I believe we are in the month of March 2010, which essentially is, it's like the Lost Zane recordings, but from an entirely different era. All right. So when I go away, I absolutely will leave you with material. You will still get the Lost Zane recordings on Patreon. You'll get something to listen to while I'm away. So there will still be hours and hours published. I'm just doing it all ahead of time so that you have it, something to listen to while I'm away. Okay. But I'm really kind of stoked because headed up north for a getaway into the middle of the jungle for this next weekend, back on Monday, and then Monday to Thursday, and then Friday after I get off the air on the radio, heading up north. I'm sorry, heading to Maine. All right. So that's what's up. And then during that time that we're away, there's a hike up there in Acadia. I think it's called the Beehive. And this is the type of hike that when you're on, like, going up the side of this gigantic rock formation / mountain, and it's the type of hike where one false move and you fall to your death. Not even kidding. I've done hikes like this before, which, like Angel's Landing in Utah at Zion. That thing is remarkable. And they have like chains attached to the rock. Chains and posts so that you can hang on as you're walking up. There's all sorts of treacherous areas that you have to be careful. A lot of scrambling, as it's described. And then when you get to the top of it, you're on top of the world. Well, there's a hike like that at Acadia. Okay? And Pooh Bear already said, I'm not doing that. She cannot stand those types of hikes. She likes just like winding hills or you know, sloping hills, maybe going up the side of a mountain slowly, but nothing major. You can't, it'll just fry her brain. She can't handle it. She can't even be on a ladder. But Justin really wants to do that thing. So I go, all right, well, I'll do it. I'll do anything. I don't know what to expect about Acadia, because people have said it's absolutely fantastic. But I've been to Glacier and I've been to Zion. And those are two of the most magnificent places I've ever been to in my entire life. And what I'm concerned about is, because I visited those parks out west, that this one is just not going to be able to hold up in terms of how spectacular it is. But then again, we've been to a lot of national parks and none of them have let me down. Not a one. There's something at every one of those parks that makes me go, fuck yeah, all right. To me, this is the only way to get any enjoyment out of travel, and that is national parks. I'm so glad that they started to do this. Gives you an opportunity to like see the country. And I'm a big fan of getting there, like rolling, not flying. Because there's so much shit in between. Shared experiences. Donut Dan is here. He writes, I just got here. Can you please go over everything I have missed over the last day and a half, please? No, as you know, that's a joke. However, there was a great moment that took place at the Dirty Donut Race. Dan was finally starting to calm down. Okay, he was a little bit stressed out during portions of that race, I could tell. So I tried to do exactly as he told me to do, not ask too many questions that freaked him out, and get my job done in announcing the winners, the awards for the race. Well, one time he went up on the stage, and he was with the winners, and he kind of like was having a hard time getting off the stage. He went right, he went left, he kind of spun around, and he had a great joke, and he was afraid to actually say it because he said it, and then under his breath he said, "Oh no, I shouldn't do that. I'm not going to get political." But it was a great joke. He said, he didn't say I look like Biden. He said something that referenced someone having trouble getting off the stage. He might have said, "I look like a president," or something like that. And then I heard him say, "Don't get political." And I was like, "Oh no, do get political." But you're right. You probably shouldn't have. But it would have been great if you did. If people actually heard you say that you reminded yourself of Biden getting off a stage because the guy can't get off the fucking stage. Dan says, "I'm going to get you a tent next year, brother. Thanks a bunch. You were awesome and a huge hit." Oh, I know. I know that. I think I could have slept with every woman there. And dude, they loved me. I could have slept with every dude, every chick, and every child. It was a fantastic effort by me. 3.5 hours in the sun. And you know what? It didn't seem like it. I was having so much fun. Getting all those people to lust for me. If I didn't have Armenian skin, I would have burnt. But look it, I stood in the sun for 3.5 hours, and I looked beautiful. It really, really brought out my beauty. So thank you. And you should all say you're welcome. Thank you to me too. That's so embarrassing. I can't even get behind any of these jokes. It's so stupid. Okay. No, man, you did great. Great race. Everybody loved it. Still can't believe some of those chicks ate 15, 16 donuts. Can you imagine their hellacious dumps the next day? My God. Okay. Heat wave. Not going outside. My neighbor's cutting his lawn right now. He's not supposed to do that. It's an ozone action day. They tell you that when you're driving around in Michigan, it will say, limit your travel, carpool, don't cut your lawn. It's an ozone action day. I guess that affects the air quality. I wonder if anyone actually heeds that. I do. Because if it's so hot, they're telling me, don't cut my lawn. There's no fucking way I'm going to cut my lawn. And when someone says, EZ, are you going to cut your lawn? I said, well, I would, but I was told that that is today's an ozone action day. I can't do it. Nobody follows that. Oh, I follow that. Now, I don't follow that because I care about the ozone layer. I follow that because I care about me. I could die. I've got to start getting more focused on taking care of myself. All right? Aside from standing in the sun for 3.5 hours with Donut Dan, I wasn't doing a lot. I wasn't burning a lot of energy. I was just standing there getting burnt. But the idea of burning a lot of energy and mowing the lawn, you know, going running, no. Too old, no way. Look at that. White socks and Crocs. How great is that? To me, nothing exudes more of a confident man or woman than Crocs. If you're a person, I saw a video that says that, guys, no self-respecting man would ever wear Crocs. And I'm like, that is such a crock of shit. Only the most confident man would wear footwear such as Crocs, the ugliest footwear on the planet. Okay. And the socks to me is very, very important. Very important. I don't like barefoot Crocs. I might wear it in a pinch, but I am always going to opt for the socks with the Crocs. Croc socks. It's about comfort, and that's what Kyle says. Jeremy says, I just bought my first pair of Crocs a couple of weeks ago. Best investment I've ever made. Here's the thing. You got to be careful, though, because if you wear them too much, you wear out the grippy shit at the bottom, and it's just like flat rubber. If you are walking to the house... This happens all the time, especially like right around the dog bowl. The dog will get a drink. The dog will lift his head up from the bowl, and then water will land on the floor that comes off of his or her face. And then I walk through it, and then this has happened many times where I go sliding through the puddle and like hyperextend my knee. It's a miracle that I have not yet broken my leg. So I got to order a new pair. Do I know? I nearly bust my ass several times a week. And David says comfy over style every time. My daughter is trying to get me into a pair of Birkenstocks. And I go, she goes, would you wear these? And I go, maybe. And she explained to me that when you get those fucking things, they're really uncomfortable. And then over time, your foot molds to the sole, so it becomes like a customized fit, and that to me sounded appealing. Donko says, aren't Crocs recommended for chainsaw activities also? Yeah, I kind of knew that was gonna come up. Let's take a look. This is the actual croc that was the victim of the chainsaw. I've covered this before with you. That's the opening right here. This spot was where the chainsaw blade went in. Right there, right into my foot. You can imagine the damage that it did. It's a miracle I didn't do more damage. Well, first of all, let me say this. There were more problems than just wearing Crocs. Regardless of what I was wearing on my feet there on that day, my foot would have been injured. Now, if I was wearing a pair of boots, would my foot have been injured? Yes. Is it possible injured the same amount? Maybe. I would think that there's a little bit more toughness to a pair of boots than there would be a pair of rubber Crocs. So probably true. But the bigger problem was I was on a ladder and holding a chainsaw with one hand. That's the bigger problem. My form was all off. And the thing is, I had my chaps on, my protective chaps, and my helmet on when I did that. And yet, I almost cut my fucking foot off. That was crazy because tell Diana, we rushed to the hospital. I'm okay. I get into the place where they're, okay, what happened? And I tell her what happened. And then she, I don't even want to say the word she said. She's assessing the damage. And she describes the injury in a particular way. I guess I'll say it. And uses, it's freaking me out right now, to the bone. And that, okay. So I'm sitting there and then she turns away and then she looks back at me. And I remember this. I remember looking at her and sweat quickly started to bead up, come out of my brow, and it started to roll down my face quickly. And my skin started to lose color. And I could feel like something was wrong. She goes, are you okay? I go, yeah. I'm looking at her like I'm drunk. And then she hits this button on the wall and yells down the hall, he's vagaling! Vagaling. I'm freebeering. This is what happens to Greg. And I'm like, that was the worst part of all of this. I mean, all those years, we just call him a dumb pussy. Now there's something to it. So that doesn't make me feel bad for him. It actually makes me feel bad for me. That I'm no better than him. You know, that's probably the worst part of all of this. The next thing I know, I'm looking up at lights and I'm being wheeled down the hall. I can hear Pooh Bear screaming. She thinks I had a heart attack. And then this total babe is cutting off my shirt. And I'm like, hey. And she's putting leads on me they were going to make sure that my heart activity was normal after this episode. And this babe doctor was also the one who repaired the foot, stitched it up. And so I'm in a conversation. This is like after I come out of it, you know, and I'm talking to her and I find out that she's my neighbor's stepmom. Everybody here is so, this is a very tightly knit community. I'm always, this happens to me so much. Moments similar to this. Oh, you know. Oh, okay. So my neighbor who lives down the street, her name is Lindsay. Her ex is married to this doc. So I had so many questions. But what I did do after I healed and I was taking my walk and I saw Lindsay, who is just as sweet as peaches. She's one of the sweetest people in the whole neighborhood. And in my mind, I'm thinking, who in their right mind could possibly get a divorce from Lindsay? She is the fucking best. And so, who knows? I didn't ask. But what I also did not do is I did not say to sweet Lindsay, hey, guess what? I was in the hospital and, you know, then I would have to reveal. I mean, it would just very likely would open up wounds. I mean, I don't know where this... I doubt that Lindsay and the new stepmom are pals. I mean, maybe they're cordial, but I actually resisted the urge to keep my mouth shut, which is a miracle until this moment right here. I don't think she listened, so, but who knows? It reminds me, I was taking a walk in the neighborhood the other day, and I saw a car pulling a U-Haul trailer pull up to a house. And I Diane and I had suspected that no one was in this house. And then that was confirmed. The people who are driving up, they just purchased the house. And this is their first time arriving at the house. Like, get out of the car. Mom, dad, two kids, dog. They're so happy. I'm like, well, that's nice. They go into the house. I finish my walk with the dog, put the dog away, take a walk with Diana now. These people are now out in front. And what does the good neighbor do? Does the good neighbor keep walking? You know? Turns out the kids are like 8 or 9 and 7 or 9 and 8. Does the good neighbor keep walking and not say hello and welcome to the neighborhood? No, a good neighbor does not do that. The good neighbor will walk up, say, hello, welcome, I am. This is my lovely wife. Who are you? Who do we have here? Nice puppy dog. Did I do that? What do you think? Yes, yes, I did. We did. I said, Diana, we got to go introduce ourselves to these people. Now, they don't live anywhere near us, but that was in the game plan. And went up, introduced nice folks from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And what was cool about them is though they're from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, they didn't look like, cavemen. And I'm like, wow, this is weird. Typically north of the bridge, you know, I would have never picked you as being from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. You look like you're intelligent. And they are. So I'm glad that they got the fuck out of there. A lot of people love the Upper Peninsula. I think it's a nice place to visit. Kind of like the national parks. You go and say, oh, yeah, that's great. Waterfall, big rock, tree, giant lake, shipwreck, Edmund Fitzgerald. Let's get the fuck out of here. If you've ever been to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, there's a small community called Newberry. And in that community, there is a tourist attraction called Oswald's Bear Emporium or something like that, Bear Sanctuary. And midway through our visit there, I felt like such an asshole. I don't know. It just got to me. Something about the captive bears. It did not sit well with your old pal EZ. And I don't know. It just seemed like the people that worked there, I was waiting for them to, like, you know, get into a fight with the bear or maybe bite his ear off or something like that. It just was a little much for me. Maureen says, oh shit, not the best place. That's the worst. Wait a minute. Not the best place. You mean not the bear place. Gotcha. It worked even as the best place. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, for you folks that are watching the show on Facebook and X and YouTube, it is time for you to leave. The rest of the show is available on YouTube. That is Twitch. What the hell is wrong with me? Twitch.tv/Eric Zane Live. Thank you so much for being here. But bye-bye. Facebook and Twitch brought to you by Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. X brought to you by Blue Frost IT. Follow me on those platforms as well as YouTube. Shoot me an email anytime you want. Eric@ericzaneshow.com. If you want to say hi on the Shoreliners Striping inbox. As I mentioned, Big Fraud Wednesday tomorrow with Ben Glaze on Patreon. patreon.com/Eric Zane. You may think you've had a rough morning. But I can tell you right now, if you are within the sound of my voice, you are having a better day than one of the biggest names on the planet. You today, no matter what happens today, within reason, are going to have a better day today than one of the biggest entertainers, one of the wealthiest entertainers. Megan knows where I'm going with this. She writes, we're not hungover and waiting for a judge. No doubt his stature will be diminished somewhat. It's all about public image. Justin Timberlake got popped by cops for drunk driving. The story just started to unfold. It happened early Tuesday today. Accused of driving while intoxicated on Long Island. He's expected to be arraigned in Sag Harbor on the eastern end of Long Island, according to a statement from the Suffolk County District Attorney's Office. Timberlake's representatives did not immediately return questions for comment from the Associated Press. I think it's remarkable that someone who has the means to easily be driven or flown or sailed anywhere in the world with nothing but a phone call. And we also live in a world where if in a pinch you could call anybody and get a ride share deal. How could you possibly get busted for drunk driving? Not just driving under the influence, driving while intoxicated, much worse, bombed. I don't understand how that's even possible. Sag Harbor is a coastal village in the Hamptons, about 100 miles from New York City. In the summer, it's a hot spot for wealthy visitors. Well, of course, Timberlake's there. The article talks about the other shit that he's done. He has two upcoming shows in Chicago on Friday and Saturday, then is scheduled for Madison Square Garden next week on Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm sure that those will be, that those won't be postponed. I mean, I don't know, but I'm just guessing. And at the end of the day, he'll get on stage and he'll probably make a cheeky remark about it. And the audience will go, yeah, but I mean, that's part of the reason why this will continue to happen. People will continue to get shit-faced. People will continue to break the law. People will continue to drive drunk. That's just what we do. And then hopefully nobody will get killed. I mean, I would love to say that it's tough even for me to talk shit about somebody like Justin Timberlake when I was a fucking chronic drunk driver. I'm not proud of that. I'm telling you, thank God Pooh Bear saved my life. Had she not said, all right, I am not going to live with a drunk. You're going to have to quit this shit or I'm out. All right, she means it this time. Thank God. Because I'm telling you, I would have killed myself or somebody else. So I can't, I'll sit here and dog Justin Timberlake all day because I don't drive drunk, obviously. But obviously you don't do it now, but it's still something that needs to be mentioned. What a clown. But no big deal. Update from our pal Kenny. Now, late last week, Kenny sent me news information. Well, first of all, he told me the story with his own eyewitness pictures of just up the road from where he lives. Like, he was laying in bed and he heard a huge explosion and it fucking shook the whole neighborhood. It turns out somebody's house exploded. One of those deals. So he went and actually got pictures on the scene. And he's still investigating because we talked about it yesterday. He needed to update the story. Now, he's the one who came to me. And he speculated that the next door neighbor was the criminal mastermind. And she's some old lady. She looks like she's about 70 years old, who took a walk right before the house blew up. And so to him and his world, that was like, oh, yeah, that's proof. She did it. She did this thing. And then the news reported that the explosion was intentionally done, that the house blew up. Somebody made it so that the house blew up. So that with that information, Kenny was all over the fact. He kept saying, hey, I'm telling you, it's this old lady. Well, he's now backing off of that because he did some investigating. He wrote, the guy at my church owns a bunch of rental properties in the area where the home explosion was. He was there over this past weekend and said that the lady that was out for the walk, it was her part of the duplex that did not explode. Because Kenny thought that if the explosion originated from her house, perhaps she made her own place explode to kill the woman next door. Because she was like, they interviewed her and she's like, oh yeah, I'm so worried about my pictures that were hanging on the wall. And the neighbor's like blown to bits. The neighbor ended up living somehow. So her house is not the side that exploded. But Kenny indicates that the pal of his, the guy at the church, said that he also noted how she seemed far more concerned about her furniture and pictures. The neighbor who was injured was actually out in the yard. Her side exploded, which is probably the only way she survived. Remarkable. So yeah, the Brenda lady is not the one responsible for the explosion, LOL. But, this guy also did tell Kenny that Tennessee Bureau of Investigations was asking about two men that apparently were seen running from the area. Well, you know that absolves Kenny. Because that would be one man was running and one guy was slowly ambling. Still waiting for official details, though. Chris writes, Brenda Bin Laden, Nashville sleeper cell. Jeremy says, sit here and rag him easy. Dude's 40 years old. He knows better. Concerning Justin Timberlake. Kyle writes, is this part of Justin's big comeback? Does he need to make a comeback? What's been going on? I thought he just kind of took some time off. Donut Dan said he should have had his girlfriend drive. Oh, wait, she's not old enough to get a driver's license yet. Oh, no, is that what's going on? Is he dating one of those young chicks? Okay. So that's a lot different than Bill Belichick, which I still can't believe that. 72 years old, soon to be 73, and girlfriend 24 years old. Talked about that on the radio show today. In my little 1.5 minute window of time that I can talk, which is fine. I'm not complaining. All right. So that is the update on the big home explosion.
Well, what a story here. A local veteran.
Kenny is on fire because he's been sending me great story leads lately. And if you have a story lead that you'd like to send me so I can talk about it on this show, by all means, send it along. Email eric@ericzancho.com, the Shoreliner Striping Inbox.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
Wow, gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
This one is perfect. Interesting. I don't know if this is necessarily funny. I'm sure we can definitely make something funny out of it, as we try to do, or I try to do. But some old school military guy, Colonel Edward Thomas Ryan, he passed away at the age of 85 on June 1st. In his obituary, he said something that was new information. You know? So, you know, everybody's like, well, we know everything there is to know about him. He's had a great life, great leader. Our beloved brother, son, friend, uncle, Colonel Edward Thomas Ryan. But he wrote something. He wrote his own obituary. And it's a very revealing thing. Let's check this out.
Here, a local veteran who recently passed away waited until after he was gone to reveal a lifelong secret. Colonel Edward Ryan's obituary gaining a lot of attention after he used his final message to reveal his true self.
News 10 ABC's Laura Taglianetti speaking with those who knew the decorated veteran to find out about how he's being remembered.
Colonel Edward Thomas Ryan passed away at the age of 85 on June 1st. His obituary in the Times Union, including a message the colonel drafted before his death. "I apologize for not having the courage to come out as gay," he explained. "I was afraid of being ostracized by my family, friends, and coworkers. Seeing how people like me were treated, I just couldn't bring myself to do it. Now that my secret is out, I will rest in peace forever." Today, we spoke to some of those friends, coworkers, and family members.
He was very friendly.
Okay, so this is... I hope you were able to hear that. Yeah, you could. Good. So you got this old timer here. I'm anxious to hear what people say. Oh, yeah, I knew he was a queer.
Ever. Today, we spoke to some of those friends, coworkers.
Because that's what the old people would say. Now, I don't think that this guy's going to say this.
Workers and family members.
He was very friendly, outgoing, and willing to do anything for anybody.
Thomas Tiernan served in the Rensselaer Fire Department with Ryan for over 10 years. I asked Tiernan what he felt after reading the obituary.
He's like, "You mean what did I feel in my butt? Oh, I mean..."
I do feel sad because, you know, like I said, I wouldn't have had any problem with it. And most of the people I know who work with the firehouse wouldn't have any problem with it.
He says their mutual friends on Facebook are happy that Ryan got to share his final message.
They're all proud that he come out as gay, because imagine what it was for him to feel it all those years and not be able to say anything.
Rensselaer Mayor Michael Stammel also worked with Ryan as a firefighter.
We had a tanker fire that one of the...
Can you imagine if everyone's like, "Oh yeah, we knew. We knew so much. He was so gay. I don't know why he was afraid to say anything. We knew he was gay the moment we laid eyes on him."
These gasoline tankers was going up the bridge and tipped over in the bridge and caught on fire. Never seen a guy drive a truck backwards as fast as he did in my life.
Later, Stammel married Ryan's niece, Kathy.
He would do anything for his family. All I had to do was pick up the phone. But if you needed Ed Ryan was there for you.
Rensselaer Fire Chief William Brooking knew Ed and all the Ryans around here for most of his life. Reading Ed's message in the obituary, he said, didn't come as much of a surprise.
When you know somebody, know their family, you eventually get to know what is going on.
But all three are sure the people who knew Ed Ryan aren't going to remember him any differently.
People have a right to live the way they want to live.
Do I believe the way that people think about Eddie would have been accepting? Yeah, I think it was.
We're not here to judge or characterize anybody for who they are and what they do.
In Rensselaer, Laura Taglianetti, News 10 ABC.
Of course, that's today.
If you work with PDFs at all...
That's weird. You know, I mean, this is when he was a much younger man. Different time. We've come a long way. If it was like 1975 and he said, "Hey, guys, yeah, what's up, Ryan? or Thomas, Edward, Ed, Brian, whatever the fuck his name is. Of course, I'm cooking at the firehouse. I got the chili for you guys to eat. So eat up, dish it up there. There's the crackers, there's the cheese, and I'm gay. They would have beat his ass, you know? I mean, this I'm actually pleased that the day and age we live in, I mean, more and more people are getting the courage to say, oh, yeah, I'm all about being gay. You know, I want it to be a day and an age when people don't even have to say anything. You just know, you know, like who cares? And we're getting there. I wonder if we had to compare, I think we've talked about this before. Who's got it tougher? African-Americans or gay? You know, I think African-Americans have it tougher. Because not everybody knows that you're gay. EZ, Jeremy K said, holy shit, I knew that guy. My grandma lived in Schenectady, and when I went to her house, he'd occasionally come over for dinner. The Colonel was awesome. So Jeremy has met that dude. That is something. Joe Martinez throws in Mexicans. You know what we could do? We could do like every year they have that March Madness where they have the brackets, bracketology. We could do brackets for discrimination, discriminology. You could have Mexicans, the blacks, the gays, we'll have to throw in the Jews. The Jews get discriminated all the time. The fat. Who else can it be in our discrimination bracketology? I think the Mexicans and the blacks and the gays are all number one seeds. But I don't know if we'd be able to do four whole brackets. You know, in the NCAA tournament, you got four different regions. That's what I meant to say, regions. But you could vote in our discrimination bracket as to who would be the most discriminated. So if you voted, if you have the Mexicans going up against the blacks and you voted the Mexicans, that would mean you feel that they are the most discriminated if you voted for the Mexicans. Wow. All right. Not a bad idea. I don't know if we'll actually do it. Probably more fun to just talk about. Chris says, how about middle-aged white straight men who vote Republican are probably the most discriminated against if you think about it? I'm not buying that. I am not going to put middle-aged white straight men who vote Republican in my discrimination bracketology. Asians. So you got Mexicans, blacks, gays, Jews, fat, Asians. Chris said his comment was said in the voice of Trump. All right. Anyway, I guess it's good that the guy came out, but I bet you he'd have been happier if he did it years ago. But it's tough when you're that old. You're afraid of like how it's going to work out. Okay. Palate cleanser. This kid is 9 years old. He's on a skateboard at some big-ass competition. Look at how little this kid is. He is a little fella. Now, if I don't know if you know this, but Tony Hawk, probably the most famous skateboarder of all time, when he was rising in his skill level, he attempted and successfully completed a 900. A 900 is you go off of that half pipe, and then while on the board, you spin around completely once, twice, and one half. So 360 times two, that's 720, plus another half, that's another 180 degrees on top of the 720 to give you 900 degrees of rotation. When Tony Hawk did it the first time, it was unbelievable. Everybody lost their mind. This little boy is going to do that times three. What? Yes. Let's watch.
It's going to be a big factor, though. Who is making most of their runs? But even if they're repeating them.
Okay, he's right just now, getting up speed.
A lot of bails.
Even that's...
All right, Emma.
Here we go.
You're going three 900s.
Right? One.
One.
He's like, yeah, here's my best trick.
Two.
1800. He's got it. He's got it.
Three.
Oh, no. History in the making.
Shit.
Oh, okay, man. Body burial, 540.
He's got to be a little dizzy.
That, he's trying to unwind with the front.
Yes. Yes.
Look, it looks
yes.
like Joe C.
Back to.
Going to be.
That looks like Joe C on a skateboard. Oh, my God. What the fuck? How can someone possess so much skill, get so good in such a short amount of time? He's only been alive for 9 years on the planet, and I don't think he came out of the womb on a skateboard. So let's figure two. Maybe he got on a skateboard. Maybe three. And here he is a handful of years later doing something three times as spectacular as what Tony Hawk did.
A big factor, though. Who is making most of their runs? But even if they're repeating them, because right now we're seeing a lot of bails.
All right, Emma.
Are we going three 900s right now?
Wow.
He's like, yeah, here's my best trick.
Two. 1800. He's got it. He's got it. Ah! Here we go.
History in the making.
Three-peat.
And body burial 540.
He's got to be a little dizzy.
Okay, if he's that good at nine. The kid's name is Emma Kawakami. I got to look him up. Emma Kawakami. Wiki. All right. He doesn't have a wiki page yet. If he's that good at age nine, I mean, what the fuck? Can you imagine how he's going to be? And when he's like 19, and this was at a Tony Hawk event, so he was probably there to witness it. I mean, what's gonna happen when he's 10 years older, at just 19 years old? How good is he going to be then? I mean, how much better can you get if you're at age nine, you're doing shit that Tony Hawk did as an adult man? Jeremy says that announcer sounded a lot like Tony Hawk. It probably was him. God damn. I think we interviewed Tony Hawk years ago. I'm not sure. I think he was driving a race car. I remember vaguely Tony Hawk joining us on the phone to talk with us, but that is fucking intense. Three 900s in a row. I mean, where do you go from there? You know, rewriting the record books. I love seeing spectacular perfection like that. It's like that, what's a gymnast's name? Simone Biles? Is that her name? The one that... she didn't do too well at the last Olympics because she had like her brain wasn't right. She wasn't feeling good, so she kind of backed away, and then everybody gave her shit. She said, no, legit, I'm not feeling good. They go, oh, yeah, you're soft as fuck. That's what the problem is. It was right about the time that more of those right-wing Republicans were starting to come out, and they were finding their voice, which they still have now. So she was it was Simone Biles, wasn't it? Isn't that her name? And she said, oh, I can't compete. I my brain is messed up. I'm going to get injured. Like, oh, yeah, you're soft as fuck. That's because you're woke. You're woke and you're stupid. Fuck you. Because you don't support Donald Trump. Fuck off. Fucking idiots. And now she's like back. But she's like old now. And she's still great. I guess she's still kicking everybody's ass. You know? And in gymnastics, typically, you go to the Olympics at like age 4. And then you have like a 30-year career, and then you retire, and then you're all worn out when you're not even like 25 years old. Fucking fantastic. I love seeing that. I cannot wait for the Olympics. I love the Olympics. It's my time to care about fucking sports that I don't normally care about. It's the only time I give a shit about whatever the hell is on. It doesn't matter what's on. If it's on, I'm watching it. Like right now, soccer is on because there is a tournament in England. No, in Europe. And it's called, I think it's called the Euros. Have you seen this? Because there's the Euros. And then I was talking with Chris D. I go, is there like, now that's all the European nations competing against each other. Yes. I go, what about the South American, you know? And he says, oh, yeah, that's called the Copa. And I remember that. I remember because Julius told me that the Copa was another big one. So you got the Euros, you got the Copa, and then you got the World Cup. And the World Cup, as I understand it, the next one is in the States. Now, there's no mistaking it. Soccer is the biggest game in the world. I mean, you look at the NFL. The NFL is only really big in the U.S., North America. Though the NFL would love to have it being as a world game. I don't know if the world wants the NFL. They should. I don't know. It just seems like the excitement of somebody throwing a ball 75 yards and a guy running on the field and catching it is just fantastic. How come the rest of the world hasn't caught on to it? I don't understand. Same reason why probably soccer isn't as big in the U.S. as it is in other parts of the world, and I can't figure out why. It should be. I should be talking about soccer, frankly. I actually do have something to talk about from soccer. It was yesterday. Because there's a player for France who's known as Mbappe. And I've mentioned him before. Mbappe is, I think he's the best player in the world. And I think he's the highest paid player in the world. And, the money that this guy makes is just sick. And he was playing in a game yesterday for France, and a ball came in, and he's going to hit it with his head. And after that move, his face collides with the shoulder of the guy next to him. And his nose explodes. And I sent a message to Chris Denham, our resident soccer expert. I said, Mbappe Mbroke. And his nose immediately, like you can see, it's all dislocated. It looks like a hockey player. He looks like Chris Chelios now. And it immediately starts bleeding, like it explodes. And then they showed a still picture of it. I'm going to show it to you. We've got to look at this guy's nose. To me, this is the most interesting thing about the World Cup. Mbappe's nose. If you take a look here, and I'll zoom in. Okay. You see how it is? It looks... See how out of place that is? That nose is destroyed. And they thought that he was going to have to go and get a major surgery to fix it. But it turns out the doc said, no, fuck that. And just grabbed it and pulled it. And it went... And he got it back into place. And then Mbappe said, well, can I play? And he says, yeah, but you got to wear that Donatello mask. So I guess this fucker's going to play now. This is the moment that Mbappe, his nose exploded. Here, look at it. He's like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. This is so fucked up. That is 1 second after his nose hit the other dude's shoulder and there's already that much blood. This is the moment when it happened.
Yeah, Mbappe goes to head this ball.
Okay, so that looked a little janky, but not the end of the world.
Hits
Danso's
head.
Watch. There's Mbappe. Boink. Oh, no. That is a muppety, flippity nose break. Right? Oh, no. Wow. This guy is looking at him saying, look how fucked up his nose looks. Jesus. Oh. The blood is already flying out.
Oh, hits it.
Oh, no. Look at his face. Oh, shit. Ow!
Yeah. Painful one.
Another angle.
Away, we've checked.
Oh!
Substitutes are not allowed.
Oh. So they subbed him out of the game, which I didn't even know that, like, if you get subbed out, you can't go back in. It's a dumb rule. You should be able to change, like, on the fly, like hockey. Not sure what I'm saying. I hope Snoop and Kevin Hart do commentary again. That may be talking about the skateboarding. Cole writes, I mean, she is soft as fuck. Can you imagine Connor McDavid doesn't play in game 5 of the Stanley Cup tonight because he needs a mental health day. Oh, you're talking about Simone Biles. Well, what you don't understand, though, as I understand it, there is a symptom called the twisties when you're in gymnastics. All right? And you see, you're representative of the moron that I was talking about earlier, and that's okay. I mean, I love it when dumb shit MAGA people, right-wing kooks, listen to my show and don't get butt hurt because I call you stupid. But no, she had, they're called the twisties, and the equilibrium gets jacked. So if you're in the air and spinning around, you don't know, like, how to land. And you might think you're landing on your feet when it could be the opposite and you land on your head and then your neck's broken and then you're dead. So there's a safety factor. So I don't know if it's fair to say, I mean, she is soft as fuck. Can you imagine Connor McDavid doesn't play in game 5 of the Stanley Cup tonight because he needs a mental health day? I think it was so much more than that. I'm pretty sure that it was a matter of life and death. Like, she wanted to go, but couldn't. But now, how this usually works, after you try to explain something in a common sense style like I just did to a moron like Cole. The one thing that they're fully capable of is not understanding what I just said. These folks have a remarkable way to take something as logical as what I just described and either dig their heels in and just say, nuh-uh, or not respond at all. Now, most normal people would go, oh, I didn't know that. That makes a lot more sense. Yeah, I guess I could see that. But no, you're a goddamn caveman. That's what I'm telling you. And then look at this dipshit says, so you're saying she's soft. When did I say that? Did I say that? No, I didn't say that once. You said that, you idiot. Goddamn. Kenny writes, I didn't care about soccer until Ted Lasso made me get into it some. How? That's a TV show. How does that even work? Chris says she literally couldn't tell which way was down while flipping around. Don't even try to explain it to him, Chris. He doesn't get it. Jimmy says the twisties. Is that a sex position? Jeremy says, no, that's the twister. I don't know either of those. Okay. But that was incredible. The guy's nose is fucking broken to shit. That was quite a crack. God damn. All right. Thank you, as always, to the sponsors that support the show. Today, a big thank you to Frank Fuss from My Policy Shop Insurance. If you are going without health care, you are rolling the dice. Do not do that. You're thinking, well, I'm in between jobs easy, or my boss does not offer it. I'm only a contracted employee, or I'm self-employed easy. What do I do? I can't afford healthcare.gov. Yeah, you can. You just don't know how it works. So that's what my job is and Frank's job. First of all, the easiest thing to do is go to buyinsurancehere.com and fill out the form. All that does is put you on Frank's radar. Make sure you put that you listen to me on there. You heard it from me. He then gets a hold of you. He says, okay, so what do you want? Well, I want health care. Easy says I can get health care. Yeah, you can. How? I can't afford it. Well, what you don't know is that the government is going to give you a tax subsidy in advance, assuming that you will keep your pay that you make this year will be below a certain threshold. You stay below the threshold, they pay for most of your premium for your health care. Really? Yes. So a policy that was $1,500 to pay for your whole family's insurance is three or four, or maybe less. It just depends. That's where Frank comes in. So Frank does all this shit for you. By the end of the day today, you can have insurance. So quit being a dick and going without insurance. Reach out to Frank. Buyinsurancehere.com. That's the website. That's buyinsurancehere.com. Buy a house now, refinance it later. That's what they're saying at the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. 231-332-6505. Jackie and Justin just did that. Getting pre-approved for a mortgage. I said to them, I go, they go, what do? We don't know. We're first. I go, I don't either. Yeah, but you know things. You're old. I go, I don't know. Who do we call? Mario. Why? Well, because he's the best. That's why. Buy now, refinance later. 231-332-6505. Yeah, but the interest rates now are going to go down. Yeah, Dick, I know that. Get into the house now that you can afford. Buy it, the rate goes down, you pay less. All right? This is a classic way to do it. Reach out today, 231-332-6505 for the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Got racing this weekend at Berlin Raceway. BerlinRaceway.com for tickets. Check it out, affordable family fun. You and the missus, missus and you, or maybe you and the husband or the mister, will love it. You'll have such a great time, even if, you know, I mean, some of you have never been to the races. You must go. So much fun. And it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg. $14 a pop when you buy the tickets online, BerlinRaceway.com. Kids 15 and under free. Parking is free. Bring in a cooler with all your soft drinks and snacks. No glass, no booze at Berlin Raceway. And finally today, Blue Frost IT is the managed IT service provider for the podcast. Thank you so much. You've been there with me since nearly the very beginning. More than 5 years now. So thank you so much to my friends at Blue Frost IT. If you need any tech help, that's who you call. 616-285-50. Finally today, the Kansas City Chiefs, it was revealed their championship rings. I wonder if in this story here I have an image of their new championship rings. This is their second title. Has each ring has 529 diamonds. Each ring has 38 rubies. Each ring cost $40,000. It's a 14.8 carat ring. And out of all of that, the company that made it made every single ring, and there's a fucking typo. Now, this is a pretty, this is, you know, each ring is handmade. It takes a pretty fair amount of time to make one of these things. The company is a company you've heard of, Jostens. They make the class rings. On the inside of the ring, they have engravings. And it shows the teams that they beat, the Chiefs beat, to get to the Super Bowl and the score of the games. That isn't that glaring of a problem. But the Miami Dolphins, it says like the team name and what their ranking was in the playoffs. Like the seeds, seeded like a in one conference there was a top seeded team. It might have been the Chiefs. I don't know. It might have been the Ravens actually. And so you would have that on the inside of the ring. I think you can actually see it here in this story that goes along with it, where the typo is.
Bowl win with those brand new championship rings last night. Today we're learning the jewelry has a typo. This is a picture that was sent to Fox 4 showing the inside of one of those rings. Has the Chiefs playoff schedule on it. The problem is the Dolphins were the sixth seed in the AFC, not the seventh seed. Like the ring says, that was that super cold game out at Arrowhead. The 14.8 carat rings are worth about $40,000 each. Neither the team nor Jostens, who makes the rings, have commented on the typo or if there are any plans to fix them.
Summer is. I don't know if you saw how it opens up there. Did you see that? It has like the I guess face or crown of the ring opens up like, you know, there's a special compartment or some shit in there. God damn. But the fact that there's a typo there, it's like, can you imagine being the guy at the ring manufacturer who did that? Because, you know, there's one person with the expert touch. It isn't like, you know, a sweatshop where some idiot is making the rings. It's got to be a skilled, precision person who has unbelievable levels of experience. I mean, you're either going to get them like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that to every ring. Or they're going to be like, wait a minute. No, I'm just doing what you idiots told me to do. I think it's important for Jostens to actually like name whose fault it is. I mean, because if it were that if it were my company, that's what I would do. I would have a press conference and, you know, have him like sit next to me and say, yeah, so this guy here is not going to get fired. We love him dearly, but we're just here to say that this is the person who's responsible for this. And this is a perfect example that nobody is perfect. Normally, this is does a bang up job, but this is clearly just a screw up, and this person did it. Either that, or you just blame it on anybody that doesn't exist. You know, oh, it was a new intern who wrote it down wrong. It was supposed to be a six. Who gives a shit? To me, that makes it more interesting. I mean, it's already interesting enough. But those fucking guys, they've won two straight Super Bowls and trying to win the third straight Super Bowl this year. And frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if they win it again. Still too early to talk about the NFL. I'm just not ready for it. I mean, I can't wait because the Lions were good last year. I still can't get over the fact that they won at least one playoff game. Not just one playoff game. They won two playoff games. When you're as shitty as they've been for so long, for them to win two playoff games, what? But I can't mention that with talking about the feeling of anguish that overcame myself and everyone when they started to fucking piss that game away. After thoroughly beating the shit out of San Francisco, second half starts, and then like 5 minutes into it, they realized, we're not going to win this game. And the only person who was actually laughing about that was fuckface Joe Martinez. Oh. Now he says, yeah, it's the Lions. Yeah, I know. That would apply, though, if they didn't win a playoff game. But they won two. So that doesn't really bother me. Because they did so well. Joe's the type of guy that if I gave him the scenario, I go, yeah, but what if they win the Super Bowl? Like, he won't even entertain that. I'm more anxious in finding out how he's going to react if they win the Super Bowl. Because at that point, how could he possibly say anything bad about the team? You know? Donut Dan says, karma, Joe. U of M will suck this year. I don't know about that. They got that coach who, the black guy who started crying on TV and he said, I fucking love you. I forgot his name, but he seems like he's pretty good. He's had a rough go, though. He's had to fire a bunch of guys for like acting like assholes, though. Joe makes a good point. It's a whole different conference this year for Michigan. You got people that come and go every year. You know, transfer portal, who knows? Whatever. It's not the same if Michigan loses and there's no Harbaugh, in my opinion. I think, because I don't want Michigan to lose. You know, I mean, I don't root for them, but at the same time, I'm not, like, hating them. The only reason why I wanted Michigan to lose was because of fucking Joe. That's it. And then he would sit there and give us all the finger and say, fuck you. And we couldn't do a goddamn thing about it. It was so frustrating. Piano Finger Banger writes, UM's schedule is a gauntlet. That's all I have to do is mention the Lions or Michigan, and he goes crazy. 8 out of the last 10 comments are his. He hadn't said anything the entire show. And now 9 out of the last 11 are him. All right. Let's see. Is there anything else that I have here? I'm kind of light on content today. I apologize for that. We will need an asshole of the day. Could be Justin Timberlake. We talked about Colonel Edward Thomas. Colonel Edward Thomas Ryan announcing that he's gay after he's dead. We've got Mbappe Mbroke. We've got the 9-year-old kid skateboarder Emma Kawakami doing 3 consecutive 900s. I can't imagine doing anything that fantastic at 9 years old. What an absolutely fantastic talent that kid is. Your asshole of the day, please. Jeremy, who met the colonel, says asshole of the day is the colonel for having 3 first names. You can't say he's an asshole of the day for having 3 first names. Come on now. I can't believe you were in the presence of that guy. Is it kind of pussy that he waited till he's dead to announce that he's gay? Tell me your thoughts on that. I mean, maybe not. I'm just throwing it out there. Kenny says, don't make him the asshole of the day. Come on. No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. But just separately, is that kind of weak? That his whole life, he couldn't get up the nerve to say that he's gay. I mean, I'd be kind of annoyed. Maureen says, to me, it's sad. Well, he said himself he was scared. So I think he's kind of a pussy. I mean, probably a great guy, served his country, you know, hard worker. But Chris says it would have cost him his military career. I don't know, man. So are you telling me my 21-year-old daughter has more balls than that guy? All right, I'm just throwing it out there, seeing what you think. Nobody's buying into that, by the way. Nobody is supporting me on that. I just want to hear what you think. That's all. I'm not saying it. Well, I kind of am. David says different time, easy. Kenny says same thing, different time. All right. Yeah, so asshole of the day, we need to get to that. Yesterday, it was Bill Belichick. So gross. Can you imagine when she finally gets sick of him, the first guy to go down on her has to think that his mouth is basically touching Bill Belichick's dick? Today's asshole of the day. Brought to you by TC Paintball is Justin Timberlake. One of you wrote, I think it was Megan, he's got sunshine in his pockets. I guess so. I don't know how much sunshine in his pockets he has today. That is your asshole of the day today. Sorry for the short show. I love you. As usual, you've been a wonderful audience. I'll talk to you a little later on after I regroup, come up with what I'm talking about on the Patreon. Don't forget, Big Fraud Wednesday. That is tomorrow. We will review the Mr. 10 video that Aram located. Thank you for that, Aram. Okay, enjoy the rest of your day if I don't catch you on Patreon. Till then, have a good one, folks. Bye-bye.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.